Our next public hearing is subdivision 2006-2, D and N Properties LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 11.88 acres into 11 lots, located south of Route 72, 1,500 feet east of Route 70. This application has been reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has received any additional comments.
Mr. Chairman, as Lawrence stated, we received written comments from the TAC committee. They were required to be received by September 20th of 2006. They'll be made a part of the record. On April the 9th, the applicant submitted a revised plan that reduces the subdivision to 10 lots, and it addressed the concerns of the TAC committee. On April the 4th, we received revised deed restrictions, which prohibit manufactured homes being placed on the lots. We received a septic feasibility statement from DENREC. They indicated that the site's suitable for on-site septic systems. And on October 27th of 2006, we received a letter from the Division of Parks and Recreation. The Division of Parks and Recreation and the Department of DNREC is seriously interested in purchasing the 11.09 acre site using funds through the state's open space program. It is my understanding that Mr. Bob Durham of Laurel Realty has agreed to send the Division of Parks and Recreation the listings on the lots on the western edge of Trussell Pond. Mr. Durham agreed to take the lots off the market until the state has an appraisal in hand and has made an offer. He will write a letter stating the same. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. That was signed by Eileen Butler, the Natural Areas Program Manager. And to date, we have not received a letter from Mr. Durham. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Good evening. My name is John Murray. I'm Project Manager with Kircher Engineering, located in Georgetown. Stand before you representing DNN Properties for their application for the subdivision that's shown before you, known as the Cypress at Trussell Pond. As was mentioned, the initial submittal for this project was submitted by another firm. We came into this a little bit late. In addressing the Technical Advisory Committee comments, the original 11-lot subdivision that was proposed has been reduced to a 10-lot subdivision. That occurred for a couple of reasons. Number one, there was the addition of a 30-foot wide forested buffer along the southern and western property boundaries. Also, the lots that were shown adjacent to Trussell Pond previously, the back of those lots encroached within the wetland area that was delineated. As typical, the county does not permit that action to occur, so we have shown as proposed that those lots adjacent to Trussell Pond would not encroach within that wetland area. The 10 lots within the subdivision would be proposed to be serviced by individual wells and septics. The roads within the subdivision would be, if approved, designed and constructed to the county standards. There is a limited area of woodlands on this property adjacent to Trussell Pond. Because of the nature of the topography in the area, it would actually lend itself that if approved, either the developer or as Mr. Abbott mentioned, Parks and Recreation, if they were to take ownership, if it was approved and they were built as lots, there's an opportunity to put a building in that location, a home, without impacting that wooded buffer to Trussell Pond. If the Parks and Recreation, if it's approved and they had taken it over and took ownership of those lots, I'm sure that it would, of course, be naturally preserved. There have not been, I've had dialogue with our client regarding the nature of the agreement between Parks and Recreation and our client. At this time, it's gone no further since October, namely because we stand here before you asking for preliminary approval on the subdivision. This subdivision does not exist except for on this preliminary plan. If preliminary approval is granted, regulatory agency approvals were granted for the development of the subdivision, then The dialogue could continue between Parks and Recreation and the client to possibly sell those lots adjacent to Trussum Pond. We're providing for some areas for stormwater management and passive recreation area that total 1.03 acres. The buffer area that is adjacent to the Eshel Mariner property is 0.7 acres, and there are 0.3 acres of those delineated federal wetlands adjacent to the pond, which are going to be preserved and undeveloped. As was mentioned, the soil feasibility study was performed on this site by Delaware Environmental. That feasibility study was submitted to Denerec and approved December 5th, 2005. And just one last thing of note, typically of late, knowing that the Planning Commission, if approval is granted, asks as a condition that there be a bus stop provision. We have shown with this revised plan an easement area in Lot 10, which is that lot located to the east of the entrance. As you would come in, we have set aside an easement area. Where if approved, that would have to be in the covenants for that lot and set aside for a covered shelter for a bus stop. That is all that I have to present on the project. Here for any question you might have.
All right, sir. We'll see if anybody has any questions for you. Mr. Gordy.
Yeah, describe the area out there now. What do you have out there now?
In this location now,
yes,
it's an empty field. It was a former ag field. It's abandoned now. There are some. There's a minor subdivision performed along the roads for the property shown as DNN properties. That was an approved minor subdivision, but currently there's nothing on this.
But it's already been strip lotted off.
In the front.
Right.
Right.
So this is expansion, almost expansion of.
Well, the minor subdivision was handled separately,
yeah,
of course.
That.
This would be of similar nature, of course, in construction, but it would just be, of course, a little bit of a nicer interior subdivision. Typically, DelDOT doesn't, you know, wants to limit their access to the county roads. This would provide an opportunity where, if approved, you know, submitting an entrance plan to DelDOT for their approval, and would somewhat limit the number of people who were accessing in different locations.
So which lots are the state considering buying? Which lots?
I can't remember the exact number, but there.
So
lot
7, 8, 9.
Yeah,
7, 8, 9
for stormwater.
And part of the stormwater.
Well, more than likely, the stormwater management area has been left there for the possibility of what would be needed. Of course, if those lots are not developed and they remain in a natural state, then there is an opportunity. You can see that there is a secondary stormwater management area shown on the plan. More than likely, there's an opportunity that if we're not having to account for the development of those lots, then the one stormwater management area shown would more than likely be sufficient, but we have not gone that far with any sort of design.
Now you're showing a 30-foot buffer along the lands of Eshel Mariner, but then I see on the other lands over here that there doesn't seem to be a 30-foot buffer.
The only reason that we did not show that in that location, and knowing that we submitted the plan a little later because we came into this application process a little later, shown on the tax map, there is a separate parcel. The lands of Eshel Mariner around the south and the west in this area look to be used currently for agricultural purposes.
Okay.
The separate lot to the southeast of the property looks to be a single-family residence. Typically, we know that the buffers have to be added adjacent to agricultural lands, and I don't know that this came in time to receive any sort of additional comments on top of the technical advisory committee comments we already received. There is space available, of course, to minimize the stormwater management area there and add the 30-foot buffer if it would be required adjacent to that residential property. But that's the only reason why the 30-foot buffer wasn't extended all the way to Trussum Pond.
So is there any of the land now under forest? Is there any forested land on this property now?
There is an area of woodlands. If you look on your plan, there should be an existing woodlands line shown along Trussum Pond, along those back of the lots adjacent to the pond. Those are the areas that are wooded currently on the property.
So if these lots are not sold to the state, you'll be able to maintain the forested area?
I would think that there'd be a great opportunity because the topography in that area drops off significantly from the front two-thirds of the property down to the back of the pond. We're dealing in that area with the proximity to the wetlands and being able to create a buildable pad without impacting that wetland area outside of the lot, I don't think would be that feasible. If approval is granted and those lands were not sold to Parks and Recreation and were developed, I would think that they would be able to easily develop those lots without impacting that wooded area.
The wooded area is the area of concern that the state has. It shows up on the state resource area maps, and that primarily because of the forest, but also with the Trussell Pond.
Clarify John's answer to the buffer part, the area of the Mariner property, Esco Mariner, that's wooded. It's
already
not
wooded.
It's not up in a forest management plan, so it wouldn't have to have a buffer.
Okay. That's all the question I have.
Okay, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You just mentioned that there was a significant grade change in the backs of those lots near Trussell Pond. If a possible sale doesn't go through and this application is granted approval, does that present design or development problems to the you and development?
I would think not at all. There's ample space with the lot areas being, of course, minimum 3/4 acre. You're looking at approximately a 1/4 acre, maybe or less, of the back of those properties is where you have that significant grade change. If you look at the topography on the plan, from the proposed road frontage shown to that woods line is rather flat. There's not very much grade change in that area at all. I'd say it's typical of what you'd find in most of Sussex County. And based off of the home areas that are shown or the proposed covenants and restrictions for the area shown for the homes, I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of minimum 1,600 square feet or 1,400 square feet. I would think that they would have not an issue at all fitting a home in that area that's not wooded.
So under the 99.9C, you feel as though that item there, no significant grade changes, that can be favorably addressed. So.
Exactly. There's an existing grade change, of course, on the back of those lots. Now, when it would come to a design, of course, we haven't gone that far yet, but there would not be a situation where we would be proposing any sort of significant grade change with the proposed development insofar as having a grade for the road, providing buildable pads, and so forth. Correct.
Is there a homeowners association that's going to be put together? We have restrictions, covenants, they're pretty...
I reviewed them. There are a couple things I would note in them. I'm not sure that they clearly include the agricultural use protection notice. What's that?
It's got to be added.
Yeah, that's got to be added.
In the covenants and restrictions?
In the covenants and restrictions, okay. Yeah. And then also, you need to ask about whether we reviewed those. Also, they don't specifically spell out that the Homeowners Association would maintain the stormwater management system. It talks about streets and roads in common areas, but we like to see, and the code requires a specific reference to stormwater management. I mean, that's flexible.
Speaking of those restrictive covenants, do you think that the owner-developer would have a problem putting a restriction on the no use of ATV-type vehicles within the development lands?
I don't think that there would be any sort of problem with that. I have one of the property owners here who could probably answer that question for you, but I wouldn't think with the nature of the development of what's planned that there would be any ATV use permitted within that area.
Mm-hmm. Reason I ask that, some of the calls that I take isn't so much of the operating of the vehicles inside the development as the children or operators, whomever they may be, adults, drifting out of that development and ripping and raring on neighbors' property. And
looking, I know it... Shortly before I came here, I took a look at, of course, the tax parcel again, and it seems to me that the majority of the properties in this area, if not actively farmed, have been there's a series of, like, minor subdivisions that have occurred. I would think that if anyone in this development did have an ATV, knowing that if it was placed in the covenants that they could not use it, that if they were using it anywhere in the vicinity, they would be trespassing.
The stormwater management areas, are they going to be designed, I know this may be a little far afield, are they going to be wet or dry?
More than likely, we have had soils testing done, of course, for the feasibility for septic and so forth. Due to the depth of seasonal high water, groundwater table, they really could be either. We have not gone that far. With the grade of where we have to discharge into Trussum Pond for the stormwater once it's treated on site, it could be a dry pond with the depth to the seasonal high water, so there's a storage area available. If approved and we were moving forward with the stormwater management design and our client had told us that they would prefer for aesthetics to have a wet pond, we could also design a wet pond. Typically, a wet pond is near an automatic if that depth of seasonal high groundwater is relatively shallow, then it's a certainty. In this situation, it wouldn't be a certainty unless the client specifically had asked for it as a development feature.
It looks like on my plan that at least the one area is in an Evesboro series soil, which has at least moderate limitations. The reason why I ask is if there's an outfall, would that be outfalling any overflow from that into Trussum Pond?
We would propose that. If we move forward with the stormwater management design, we would propose in submitting the construction documents to the Conservation District in Deneric that would be our outfall location for stormwater management. Of course, by their requirements, we would not be permitted to discharge stormwater management into Trussum Pond at a higher rate than what it would already be going there now for the undeveloped site.
Any thoughts of sidewalks or streetlights?
I have spoken with the developers about both. Street lighting, I don't believe, is any sort of issue. With the developments they've done in the past, an interior subdivision, they've always used street lighting. Sidewalks, because of the nature of the development and the amount of traffic entering and leaving the development, we do feel that once a roadway would be developed, that there would be ample space for someone with a shoulder area provided to be able to traverse the property on foot for leisure or what have you, visit a neighbor without there being any sort of significant danger to them without there being a sidewalk. I know that when I've come before the commission before, there's an idea possibly of extending the pavement width on the road. So rather than having a standard 20-foot wide section on the road, you may add another, say, 5 feet delineated for walking path and bike path aside from that. In consultation with some other engineers, the only problem we'd seen was that typically if you have an environment where you have a sidewalk, you also have curbing. And that curbing allows that any water coming off the road is captured before it would flow across the walkway and make it a little more, I guess, slippery in an icy condition. At least with the way these roads are planned, if someone were to be walking along the road or in the grass shoulder, at least there would be a little bit of better traction for someone walking through a development rather than walking across a paved surface that's having, you know, water sheet flow off of it from the road. I don't know if that answered your question.
Good answer. It was a long one. Thank you.
I never heard anybody use so many words to say, no, we're not putting in sidewalks. That young man just did.
Thank you for your time.
I think we understand where you're coming from. Anything else, Mr. Snow?
No, sir.
All right, then. Mr. Johnson?
I have no questions, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Burton?
Can you just review with me the sale of the two Parks and Recreation is in what state?
Well, there have already been discussions. But the sale of land can't occur on those particular lots because those lots don't exist.
Yeah.
They'll exist here on this preliminary plan.
While we're talking about this, Mr. Robertson, is this really of interest to us whether the state wants to buy these lots or not? I mean,
I would say, you know,
it's a land use issue for us. If we want to subdivide, if we feel that it's an appropriate place for subdivision, that's the questions in front of us. I don't care who they sell lots to or if they ever sell them for that.
Right. Matter. I mean, that's almost no different than a developer selling to some home builder doing takedowns.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Some, if they want to buy them, they're more than whatever deal they all want to make, that's their business, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
I would think. I'm sorry, Mr. Burton, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I understand that. I got it.
It was
put out there.
It kept popping up, and I just figured, well, let's just slap her down one more time. Anyway.
Anything else? No.
Okay. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Okay, Mr. Couts?
No, no, sir.
Gravitt?
No questions.
Counsel?
No questions.
You're afraid to, yeah, aren't you?
I know. I'd have to respond to my own question or something.
Well, it just is interesting to me the way they go about things sometimes. And I guess it's, you know, it's their. These folks are all privileged to do whatever they want to do with, as far as who they sell it to.
And the state ultimately, I mean, the state through its agencies knows what the Planning and Zoning Commission's doing and the timeline that the Planning and Zoning Commission's working on, you know, so.
Well, and the thing that that strikes me about it is their interest is really in 3 out of 10 lots. It's not in the whole subdivision or something. Right. So, I mean, you know. What's that have to do with the other 7, you know?
They may only be a part of those 3 lots in the stormwater management, and they could still get a couple lots out of what's left.
So whatever they work out among themselves is their
narrow.
And even if something isn't worked out, there's a possibility that the developer could restrict use of that through deed restrictions and easements so that the forest part of it is preserved, and just the front part is developed as lots, and the natural part is protected.
All right, sir. If you'll step aside for a second, we'll see if the governor's here and wants to speak in favor of your application. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-2 DNN Properties LLC? Well, she's not here. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-2 DNN Properties LLC? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may just wish to call the office in the morning.